We all like to be nice people, but what if being too polite cost you $250,000? In fact, just one of the categories I'm going to break down for you today is $145,000 by itself. One change could save you that. So you don't want to miss this. Welcome to Making Sense. It's the podcast for people who want financial freedom without giving up their coffee, supported by our friends at KiwiBank. I'm Frances Cook, an independent financial journalist and fellow financial freedom seeker who makes money simple for you. And look, nobody likes doing maths. I do not like doing maths. But I did that for you today because I love you and I want you to stop being nice to everybody but yourself because it is probably costing you big time. Making Sense is on a mission to make money simple, and I just couldn't do that without the support of KiwiBank. It's really important to me to only work with companies that understand that mission. And for KiwiBank, their purpose is to help Kiwi and Aotearoa be better off. So bringing you real stories of different approaches to finance is one of the ways they're making a difference to the lives of their customers. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi. Look, there's a very sweet little voice that lives in most of our heads, and it whispers things like, don't make a fuss, or don't be difficult. Maybe it's saying, don't rock the boat. And like I say, it's a very polite voice. It's a nice one. It's also very expensive, because when it comes to your money, you could miss out on tens of thousands of dollars just by trying not to make a fuss. And this applies to your regular bills, subscription services, definitely a mortgage, any area of life. You can still be nice. I love being nice. I was once called in an article, New Zealand's nicest business journalist, which I think may have actually been a little bit of a backhanded compliment, a little bit of a passive-aggressive dig, because I'm not sure that journalists are actually supposed to be nice. But I liked it. I like being nice, so I just took that one on face value as a compliment. But there is a difference between being nice and being a pushover, and that is key. You can still be nice, but in a way that stops you from missing out on that cash that surely you would prefer to spend elsewhere. All you have to do is ask. That's it. Ask for a better deal. And you could be saving thousands on thousands. But people don't. I know they don't. So today we're running through exactly how it's done. But first, why don't we ask? Because the idea that we can get a better deal by asking for one probably isn't news to you. But I know a lot of people don't. And probably you don't as often as you could. I've got some numbers coming on exactly how much you could save, and I think they're going to shock you because when I ran those numbers, they actually did shock me, and I do this stuff all the time. But let's just get to those in a minute, because in most cases, this isn't actually a knowledge or a numbers problem. Most of us know that there's room to negotiate. We've read it online, we've seen the Instagram reel, we've maybe had a friend mention it to us, but when it comes to actually doing it, that polite little voice just pipes up in the back of our mind. It says things like, what if I seem greedy? What if I ask and they say no? What if I ruin the relationship and can just never come back here? We're trained from a very young age to avoid being seen as pushy or rude or, worst of all, one of those customers. You know the ones. And can I just say, as the mum of two young kids, including a three-year-old, it's great that we learn not to be pushy or rude and that the world actually doesn't revolve around us. Great things to learn, tricky lessons to teach sometimes. But there's also a line on that, where when you're telling yourself not to be one of those customers, we end up instead nodding, smiling, and accepting the first rate that we're offered, and then quietly overpaying for years. So let's go ahead and bust that myth of being the difficult customer right now. And then I'm going to shock you with those numbers to make you stick with it, because believe me, they will convince you. You don't have to be a corporate shark to get a better deal. You don't need to threaten to walk or be slamming your fists on the table. In fact, please definitely don't do that. Most of the time, all it takes is one sentence. Now, there's lots of options for what sentence you can use, but you only have to use the one. Here are some for you to try. Is that the best rate you can offer me? Or are there any special deals or discounts available right now? Even better, do some research, then trot out, I've seen a lower rate elsewhere. Can you match it or beat it? There's no tantrum or nastiness required, just quiet, calm confidence. You're not being difficult, you're being informed, and that's different. Here's the thing, the system expects you to ask. If you need help to keep that backbone nice and strong, beautiful, shiny spine, just remember this. Many businesses expect you to negotiate, and it's built in. The advertised starting rate is just that. It's the starting point. Now, large companies will usually set aside budget for discounts or special deals, but they're not going to tell you that. Come on, that would be silly. If they can get you to pay more, why wouldn't they? They're in business. It's a bit like going to a market overseas where haggling is part of the culture. If you pay full price without blinking, the vendor doesn't think, my, what a lovely, polite customer. They just think, that was easy money. Hope they come back again. Same with banks, power companies, even tradies. If you don't ask, they won't offer. Why would they? It's not personal. It's just business. But you've also got to make sure that that's why you look after yourself in this, because everyone else is looking after themselves. Now, I promise I put my money where my mouth is on this. I was looking into a service that I was considering for my small business, and if I used it, it would be for several hours at a time. So all I asked was one simple line. Do you do a bulk discount? Now, the answer, not usually. But we could, in this case. One line, several hundreds of dollars in savings. Don't ask, don't get. And then, because I'm a bit disorganized, I didn't actually get around to coming back to them for a couple of weeks. So then they emailed me back and offered me a free first try. So being disorganized could save you even more, but I'm not sure if I'm necessarily recommending that. Just, you know, saying. It's in the arsenal too. Now, what's up for negotiation? And let me tell you, everything. Everything. Just floating the possibility of a better deal or a discount is often enough to get you something. Your power bill, your bank fees, mortgage rate, definitely. Really any expense that you encounter regularly. All of them will have some sort of room for negotiation. And because they're regular bills that you're paying all the time, even a small saving can stack up to be big money. Power bill? Shop around. See who has the best rate. Now, the Electricity Authority crunched the numbers and found that just comparing your home plan, use an online tool, make it easy, something like powerswitch.org.nz, the average person who shopped around got savings of around $400 a year. Now, wouldn't you like to spend $400 on something else? Even if it's just a few coffees out with friends over the course of the year, you'll get the exact same light coming out when you flick the switch, but you get it for less money, just for 5 minutes of comparing a plan and then probably completing some online form to switch. That's it. $400 and nothing in your life has changed. Now, that's one example, but truly, you can negotiate almost anything, including your phone plan. So let's say you have a few family members. Work together, you can get a discount. You can get a family plan with providers such as Spark and Contact Energy. Both of those have got discounts for each additional number that you add to a group plan. And if you're going it alone, we can still get you a cheaper phone deal. I do have a previous episode on the singles tax and how to avoid it, but we're not subjecting you to the singles tax today. We can still get you a good phone deal. Here you go. Set up automatic payments for your phone bill. That can sometimes qualify you for a small discount. And they also might agree to waive extra fees, such as card payment fees. Just ask if they have these types of plans. And if they don't, be ready to switch to someone who does. Now, what about any other subscriptions you've got? I bet you've got a few. Businesses love a subscription model these days. And do you know why they all try to get you onto a subscription model? Because we often forget that we have it. And then we keep paying and we don't even use the product or service, but we're still paying it just automatically. So the very first thing is that you go back through the last month or so of your bank statements and you ask yourself, what are each of these payments for? Am I still using this? Do I still want it? And you cancel anything that's a no. That is your ultimate savings hack, obviously, to cancel it entirely. But even after that, for the subscriptions that you keep, you get the very best rate that you can. If you know you'll use it throughout the entire year, it's often better to pay an annual fee rather than monthly. So two things for that. They'll usually give you a cheaper rate for a longer time commitment, but also if they raise the prices within that year, you won't get that price increase until the end of your annual contract. And hey, even a few extra months of a cheaper rate is worth having. So let's just look at Disney Plus for an example. Now, that'll cost you $169.99 annually if you pay up front. Now, if you were paying the monthly $16.99, then that would add up to $203.88. And you want to keep that extra $30 to spend on something else fun, of course. Or avoid bank fees by going digital, using internet or mobile banking, even just asking them if they'll waive your credit card fees. You'd be shocked. Often you literally just ask. Here's a sentence that could work for you. I've been a loyal customer for however many, X amount of years, and it would be great if the annual fee on my card could be waived. And often they will, at least for a year. So they'll say, we'll do it this year. It's on again next. But then you just ask them again next year. I have rolled over so many discounts that way. It's neat. But you want that big number, right? The 145,000. It's time to talk mortgages. Stick around, even if you're not currently a homeowner, because this actually applies to all debt, anything with a percentage. And I want to show you how a tiny little percentage can be a really big deal. The thing with mortgages is they're considered cheap debt because they often have some of the lowest interest rates. But that's then spread over 30 years. Now, you could choose to pay your mortgage off faster than that. Again, I've got lots of previous episodes on paying your mortgage off faster than that. It's great, but that's not what we're talking about today. A lot of people do just do the 30 years. By having it over that long period of time, they cost you so much more than you realize. That time is really powerful. Meanwhile, something like a credit card has got a higher percentage. And a lot of people stay in debt on those for just as much time. You just think of it as a monthly bill, but a lot of people are paying an interest rate on that credit card for years. So this section, I'm using mortgages as an example, but then I'm going to get into these numbers might be even bigger if we're talking credit cards, car loans, honestly, even bank fees. But we'll get into all of that in just a minute, right? Let's focus for a second. Mortgages. So if you're paying off a mortgage, it is a massive financial commitment, but The good thing about big bills also gives us heaps of opportunity to negotiate big discounts. You can get a cashback or an interest rate better than what's on the website the next time you refix. Now, what's a cashback, you ask? You can literally get cash back from the bank when you're either agreeing the mortgage in the first place or when you come to the end of your fixed term and you're renegotiating. Now, it's often up to 1% of your mortgage value, and you might need to switch lender to get it, or you might be able to get it from your current bank just by asking for it as a reward for staying loyal. Now, mortgage brokers Squirrel, they put out some numbers, and they showed on a $600,000 mortgage, a lot of people could get back $6,000 in their back pocket. So there's that 1% for you. Wouldn't that be nice? I know we all get nervous about having these conversations, but wouldn't you do it for $6,000? Have that awkward, ugh, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway, feeling in the pit of your stomach for $6,000? I absolutely would. I'll be uncomfortable for about 5 minutes for $6,000. And then I'm going to put some of that money aside for being a good girl. Save and invest it. And then some is going into a Fiji holiday fund because I want fun now and in the future. Thank you so much. I was very uncomfortable and now I'm going to Fiji. Ta. I've literally just done this. And all we had to do was shop around and get quotes from the other banks on how much cash back they would offer us. And then our current bank matched it. Done. Not even the hassle of moving banks. Several thousand dollars in my back pocket for the sake of a few phone calls. Now that is an excellent ROI, a really good hourly rate for me there. Life looks different for everyone. Maybe you're buying your first home, growing your whānau, dreaming of travel, or simply trying to stay on top of things. KiwiBank has the tools to help you manage your money your way. Find out more at kiwibank.co.nz. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi. So, what about another big number? $90,000. That's going to come from negotiating your interest rate. Now, a tiny, tiny change in your interest rate can save you so much more money than you would think. You can literally just look at the interest rate that your bank is offering. And when you go to refix your mortgage, you say, can we do any better on that interest rate? That's it. That's the question. Throw it out there. If you're really uncomfortable, you can work through a mortgage broker and they'll do it for you. Give it a crack yourself first, though. And if it's not working, okay, mortgage broker time. So for example, all right, I've got numbers for you. I promised you numbers. Shave 0.5% off the advertised one-year rate of 5.55%. That's what it was when I looked up the numbers for this video. On a 30-year, $800,000 mortgage, that could save you $3,000 a year or a stunning $89,420 over the 30-year term. That is a hair's breadth away from $90,000. For just 0.5%, 0.5%, this is the power of time with your money. Even the smallest amount over 30 years, so powerful. But okay, again, not everyone has a mortgage, but you probably do face debt, interest rates, or fees in all sorts of areas of your life. Look how powerful that 0.5% was. So could you do that with a credit card? Find or negotiate a lower rate. What about if you invest? Can you find a lower fee platform? It is frankly easy for me to show you the power of a measly 0.5% on a mortgage because there are masses of free calculators out there. I just plug in the numbers. It's good. I'm sure my numbers are right. Nobody's going to be yelling at me in the comments. probably someone will yell at me anyway, but it won't be about the numbers because they'll be right. So easy. But this applies anywhere that you're dealing with fees, interest rates, percentages, and it all adds up so much more than you think. This is just the example. And like I said, mortgages are actually really cheap debt. You're probably paying more in other areas of your life, and you're probably paying it over years if you're in the habit of having debt. Credit cards, if you don't pay it back in full every month, a lot of people will keep that rolling over for years. Even if you do slip up and it's just a month here or there, over the course of your lifetime, don't pay more on that little mistake than you have to. Car loans, that's a classic. There have been studies done that show that if someone uses a loan to pay for a car once, they often keep doing it. They pay down a lot of that loan, and then they're just about at the point of paying it off. Well, it's been a few years. I could actually do with a new car now. They use a loan to get another one, and they just keep rolling over that car loan, which is a very expensive form of debt. Again, you've got a higher interest rate there. It's going for years. If you're going to have debt, get it for as little as you possibly can because it will save you so much money. So look for anywhere that you see a percentage or an interest rate or a fee pop up. How can you make it smaller? Even a tiny bit smaller could turn into hundreds of thousands of dollars, as we've just seen. Now, we're not actually finished on the mortgage savings because we want that really big number, that $145,000. If you pay a little extra off your mortgage, you can save even more. And once again, this actually applies to so many other areas of debt management, but we're going with mortgages here. Extra payments on your mortgage are a secret source to saving incredible amounts of money. Because usually when you make a payment, it goes onto a combination of the principal, which is the amount that you borrowed in the first place, and then the interest, which is how much the bank charges you for lending you that money. So it is both. That principal and that interest is in your minimum payment, and actually often in that minimum payment, you're often paying more interest than you are of the principal or the actual debt amount that you're trying to pay off. But any extra money that you put on the mortgage, anything above the minimum payment, goes straight onto that principal, the amount you actually borrowed. And by doing that, it wipes out all the extra payments in interest and fees that it would have cost you. So one extra dollar on the mortgage can be worth $2, even $3 in how much money it saves you, depending on your mortgage structure. Don't you want that money? Don't you want that so much more than just handing it over to the bank? Let me put some actual numbers on that so you can see what I mean. So I hassled the lovely Kiwi Bank team to give me some data on this. I bully them, pull-ups, and they really put up with it well. So Kiwi Bank has figures that show if you've purchased a home for $1 million with a $200,000 deposit, yeah? So the amount you've borrowed is $800,000. Stay with me here. On a 30-year term at 5.79%, if you increase your weekly repayment by just $75, so your monthly payment is going from $4,689 to $4,989. Not a huge percentage change. Just $75 more a week, you're already paying a heck of a lot. You can probably make that work, right? Just doing that cuts more than 4 years off your loan. 4.25 years gone, to be exact. Don't you want mortgage freedom that much earlier? What about the dollar amount you've saved? Here's the number. Over $145,000 in interest that you would have paid, wiped out. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. From the lifetime of your loan. $145,000 that you could instead invest to create financial freedom or spend on holidays with your family. whatever you want to do. I'm sure there's plenty you could think of spending $145,000 on. Go for it. It's your life. No problem from me. But why would you give it to the bank if you don't have to? Spend it on what you want. Holidays, investments, be as smart or as silly with it as you want, but just make sure it's what you want. Not just handing it over to someone else because you were scared to talk about a restructure. Now look, if that has you dying and wanting to renegotiate your mortgage right now, you might be worried about break fees. New Zealanders do have to worry about break fees. Not everyone else in every other country has to worry about them so much. This depends a little bit on where you're based, but most of the audience here are New Zealanders. So break fees, yeah, you're probably going to be thinking about those. And if you're thinking, could I go in, ask for a better interest rate? Would that save me more money than I would pay in a break fee? Now, first of all, again, a mortgage broker could be able to run these numbers for you, help you negotiate that. It's one option. Sometimes if you switch banks as part of them trying to woo you over, they might offer to help you out with that break fee. Again, these are all things you can ask for. You can ask to get help on this and save your own back pocket, make someone else pay the bill. You can also use a very handy little website, www.mortgagerates.co.nz. They've got an online calculator, lets you work out how much you're likely to pay in a break fee versus how much you might save. So run those numbers, have a little look. There are even more areas where you could just ask for a deal and get so much money back, but you don't need me to keep slamming you with these numbers. What you need is to apply this mindset to every area of your life. I mean, I could just keep pulling out example after example after example, but you know your life. You know what you're paying for. Every time you have a regular bill, ask for a better deal. You ask to knock off 0.5% on any debt interest rates or fees that you're paying. You ask if there's a better deal anytime you're paying for something, a service that you're using. If there's an option that could help you save. You build the muscle of regularly just asking, what's the best we can do here? Is there a better rate? Do you have a deal going at the moment? How can I get it? You just ask. Because otherwise, it creates this horrible, quiet inequality. It's really important that we remind each other to negotiate everything that we can. I'm in business. I have nothing against businesses, but I'm also out there in the real world too. And when you're out there in your personal life trying to survive, it's not a fair fight. And we've got to help each other survive the rather insane cost of living. All the little discounts that you're missing out on can create a ripple effect. And it's not just a ripple effect through your money, it's through your life, because your money has a huge impact on your life and what you can do. The people who are confident enough to negotiate, or who grew up in families where money talk was normal, end up getting the better deal. They pay less interest, they clear their mortgage faster, they have lower monthly costs, and get further ahead financially. Meanwhile, those who don't know the system or feel awkward speaking up end up paying more for the exact same thing. And it's not because they're worse customers, it's just because they're quieter ones. And that is where politeness turns into a trap. Now, if doing this feels uncomfortable, kind of good. It means you care about how you treat others. That is a strength. But it's worth separating kindness from compliance. You can be both respectful and assertive. You can ask for better while staying calm and courteous. You're not being a diva. You're being a grown-up who knows that their repeat business is worth something. And you're just looking to protect your own interests. Why wouldn't you? everyone else is, it's worth at least asking to see what's possible. Because just from the very small number of places where I've crunched the hard numbers for this episode, that is a total savings of $240,850. That's so close to $250,000 just for asking a couple of questions. You keep asking more questions in other areas too, it's going to be even bigger. Your credit card, bank account fees, any subscriptions you've got, ask, just ask. It will become second nature soon, but you've got to turn this into a habit. You will barely even notice it happening after a while, but you get through that first little icky feeling of creating the habit, feeling a little awkward, and then you're going to see the rewards. It will become a habit and it will no longer be a problem, but you've just got to get through that first bit. $250,000. I know you want that money. I sure do. Imagine the things you could do in your life with that cash. It's literally, genuinely life-changing. So you start with one question. The next time you're about to pay a bill or sign up to a service, try this. Just ask one extra question. That's it. One little sentence to open the door. Do you have a better deal? Is there any possibility of a discount? I've researched, found this price elsewhere. Can you beat it? And if the answer is yes, wait until you're off the phone and then give yourself that classic 30 Rock self high five. It's great. You've earned it. Well done, you. You have my full permission to get yourself a little treat, especially with that first one. You have earned it. That is your money. Enjoy it. Now, if the answer is no, you've still flexed the muscle. You've practiced checking for a better deal. And guess what? You didn't die. The more you do this, the more it will become second nature, and you'll be amazed at the places you can build up some savings. It's worth it. Now, that's it for this episode. If it was helpful to you, make sure you hit subscribe to Making Sense wherever you're watching, listening, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever, but also send it to a friend who you think would find this useful. Let's all level up our money together. Until next time, have a great day.
Just a note before you go, this podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.